Acts chapter 7. We continue here with Brother Stephen's message. Remember last time I was kind of in the dark about what I was preaching. But the Lord blessed me. I hope He blessed you in it. But that's neat sometimes how that is. I think about saints in days gone by, not privileged to have a church building, not privileged to have a place that they would call their own to meet, and would maybe meet in such a way, in darkness, where the one that's bringing the message or the lesson would be the only one that would have a light, or maybe would preach a message from even from memory. We think about if it would be such that our Bibles would be taken away from us. How much of the Scripture do you contain to be able to bring it back so that we, as we would continue to meet, I trust, would be able to have the Word of God? You know, it's kind of gets a little sobering, a little serious when we think about things that way. If we come around taking up Bibles, and we've just got such a blessing in our day, most of us probably have half a dozen Bibles. And, you know, just think about that. And, you know, if for some reason, I don't want it to be the case by any means, but for some reason this building would be lost, or, you know, something would happen. Well, you know, would we still purpose to meet together? Or how would we do that? What would we do? And of course, we have to trust the Lord's leadership, but would we have a will to do so? Would we have a desire as the Lord's body here at Olmsted to do so? Just something to think about. It could become a reality in our day. It really, really could. There's nothing about us that would be, there's nothing about us that warrants that the Lord would spare us from such, is there? No. No. And so we need to be feeding on the Word of God so we can have it in us. Here in Acts chapter 7, Brother Stephen is preaching. And last time we looked at verse number 37. We want to look a little bit more at that verse and see a few things here. This one, Moses, that the people said, you know, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? The same one the Lord called. And it says in verse 35, this Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and deliverer. How? By the hand of the angel. And he's going to talk about that angel more as we go, which appeared to him in the bush. And so at Moses' calling out there in the Sinai desert, there at Horeb, at Mount Sinai, we've seen a little bit about that. The Lord called Moses, and this angel of the Lord was with him, and goes on to say in verse 36, and he brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. The point here being is if the Lord sends us a man with His word, we need to listen to him. If he's not, I know that's very self-serving, me being your pastor. But if I'm giving you the Word of God, what the Lord says, you need to hear it. Amen. We need to hear it. I need to hear it. We need to believe it. We need to hear it and believe it. Amen. And we're going to see a little bit more about that. Verse 37, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. And this was up front in Stephen's mind when he got to Moses. This calling, this thing that Moses had said. And let's turn back over to Deuteronomy 18, and I don't think we're going to spend a lot of time here. We looked at this last time, and of course we mentioned about how it was in our VBS, that this was the theme of our VBS this summer. And here in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, here's the account of that which Stephen is referencing. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. And in our VBS, the points that we brought out, you know, the first night was young and on the run. How it was with Moses, how it was with the Lord Jesus Christ in their youth. There was a decree made to put them to death. And but the Lord provided, and the Lord delivered them, and through Pharaoh, he took care of Moses, through the gifts of the wise men, he took care of Jesus, so Jesus could make his journey down to Egypt and abide there till Herod died. And then how on the second night, called of God to deliver his people, how the Lord called Moses out of the bush to deliver his people. God sent his man to do this work, and how the Lord has called the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver his people from sin. And how they both, the Lord, Moses worked miracles, worked some miracles more than any other prophet in the scripture to save the Lord Jesus Christ. And how the Lord Jesus Christ did work miracles. Why? Why were the miracles such? To prove and to show that they were God's man, God's deliverer. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself being God. Then the third night, we took a look at lifted up. How that the children of Israel were bitten by fiery serpents. And the Lord told Moses to make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up, that whosoever looked at that serpent that had been bitten would live. And how it is that Jesus Christ, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, just like Moses lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whosoever looks to him, trusts in him, shall live. And then how it is that Moses, he didn't take the children of Israel in to the promised land, but he took them to the promised land and preached to them good in the book of Deuteronomy. That's that book is Moses' message to the children of Israel. You read that book and take a look at it that way. He preaches to them, he charges them before they go on in to the promised land, to the land of Canaan. And he got to see the land, he got to look out over the land, but he didn't go in because of his disobedience. And it's interesting there. It's maybe a challenge for a study. Maybe sometime we'll take a look at it. But take a look at what it says about why that happened to Moses. He was so pressed. He was so pressed. He was responsible for what he did. But it says many times in the scripture that as Moses is preaching to them, he says, "It didn't go well for me for your sakes." The people of Israel, the children of Israel, so pressed Moses with their chiding, with their murmuring, with their complaining, with their fussing, that he caved in and hit the rock. He was responsible for doing it when he should have talked to the rock. But it is interesting how the Lord mentions that there, of how the people urged and pressed Moses so, and he got angry in that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord sent him to deliver us to the promised land, hadn't he? To be with him in eternity. And so, truly it is, the Lord is a prophet like unto Moses. In verse 15, "Like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, hear him and obey him, according to all that thou desirest of thy Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not." When the Lord appeared there, he appeared to Moses on Sinai, on Horeb, and the smoke, the fire, when the Lord came down on that mount, and the people, the children of Israel, saw it. Moses went up and communed with God. The Lord spoke the Ten Commandments audibly to the entire congregation. And they said to Moses, "Tell him not to do it anymore. We'll listen. You go find out what he says, and whatever he says, we'll do it. We'll obey." And so that's what the Lord's talking about here. That's what Moses is talking about here in verse number 16. The elders, the 70 elders and the nobles that went up with Moses a little bit later on. We may take a look at that here in the future in this passage in Acts chapter 7. But how they saw their God. They saw God, and it tells what they saw. That's what the scripture says. And they ate there before him. They saw him. "According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not." They were fearful because of their wickedness rather than surrendering, repenting, getting right, and saying, "Yes, let me hear the voice of God. Let me, the Lord is pleased to speak with me. well, so be it, and Lord help me that I can be here and hear. They said, no, don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Are we that way? Do we say, no, I'll take that and I'll take this, but I don't want to hear that. Are we that way with the Lord? May the Lord help us. He's telling us about it. And so they said, they don't want to hear. Verse 17, and the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. You see that capital P there in prophet. Like unto thee, one of the names of the Lord, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. There it again, the word of God again. The word of God to be heard by the ears of his people. God's word through his man, through the Lord Jesus Christ in this case. And it shall come to pass, verse 19, that whosoever will hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. When the Lord speaks, do you and I listen? When God speaks from his word, do we listen? Do we not only listen, but then do we take it and obey? We need to. That's the way that it is. So submission is the universal answer to all things. Submitting to the Lord and what he says. But if one does not hear, does not hearken, hear and obey to the words of the Lord spoken by his man, then the Lord will require it of that person. Verse 20, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. In our day and age, I need to preach what God says, right out of this book. Nothing else. Right out of this book. Seeking the application for it. Not the philosophy of men, not my ideas, not your ideas, but what the Lord says. God says that in the day of the prophets and that, and even in this day, men will be held responsible. That's pretty serious, that a man that presumes to speak the word of the Lord and is false, he was to die. Listen to what it goes on to say. And if thou wilt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? How do we distinguish? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. He said, he gave a prophecy, he told things to come. He says, God says this, that, or the other. If it doesn't come to pass, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And so there's a fear there. There is a fear when the Lord sends his man with his word, not because it's the man's word, but it's the word of God. There's to be a fear there. Look over here real quick in 1 Samuel. It was this way with Samuel, and look over here. And studying this and considering this, I remembered about this passage about Samuel. And from the beginning, Samuel was a righteous prophet of the Lord. And you go and you take a look. I mean, God's men are to be holy. They're to be holy. They're to be righteous. They're representative of the Holy One. They're not to be a hypocrite, but they're to live that which they preach. Otherwise, how will it have any power? And the Lord knows that. And you think of all the men of God through all the Scriptures. Is there any man of God that had power with the Lord and power of the Lord, the word of the Lord, that was living in sin and wickedness that the Lord condoned? No. I challenge you to find it. If you find one, I want to know it. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, look at this. Verse number 1, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? 1 Samuel 16. Sorry, I didn't tell you what was right. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. And the Lord said to Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing how I rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, came to Bethlehem. Listen, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? What the Lord prophesied through Samuel and the judgment that Samuel judged, the people of Israel, the children of Israel, knew that he was of God. And when he showed up, when he didn't normally show up, I said, is everything okay? Comest thou peaceably? Have we got trouble? Is there a problem with us? Is there a problem here? Why? Not because Samuel had a word of himself that had power, but because he carried the word of the living God. That's it. That's it. And so Samuel was the man feared. Why? Because of the word of God. Because of the word of God. And so the Lord over here in Deuteronomy said that he would send one like unto Moses, and the Lord Jesus Christ is that prophet. And back in Acts chapter 7, in verse 37, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. That's what Stephen's saying. Listen, the Lord promised that he would send a prophet. He promised that he would. And what did the Lord want us to do? What does he want us to do as it was in the day of the assembly, as it was in the day when the Lord took the children of Israel out of Egypt? The Lord wanted them to listen to the word of God he gave through Moses. And he told this prophecy here that he was going to send another like unto him, and the one that he has sent, he wants us to listen to him, having the word of God in him, because it's of God. Hear it. Hear it. Hearken to it. Hear it and obey it. You know, this is a theme amongst the church. Look over here in Acts chapter 3. Look at Peter here preaching. Peter and John going into the temple to pray. And then this lame man, they run across him. And Peter says unto him in verse 6, I don't have any silver and I don't have any gold, but what I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. He wasn't very quiet, was he? No, he was loud. He was happy that he had been healed. And they knew that it was he that sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They knew who the man was, and they knew that he was crippled, and he'd been there for such a long time, begging for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed, verse 11, as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, he's hanging on to them. He's enjoying fellowship with them. He's thankful for what's been done in him. All the people ran together to them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Said, what's happened? How did it happen? How was he healed? I just saw him out there. He's been out there forever. How is it that he is jumping? He's not dragging one foot, is he? He's jumping and leaping and praising God and saying hallelujah and thanking the Lord. And they said, how is it that it can be? Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? He said, don't stand there with your jaw dropped open. Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Notice how it is with these men of God. They don't say, yeah, aren't we good? Aren't we great? Who's next? They don't do that, do they? They're not pointing to themselves. They're going to point folks to the Lord. See, that's the testimony of a man of God. He's going to point folks to the Lord. What did Moses say? God wants you to do this. The Lord wants you to do this. The Lord said this is the time. The Lord says this is the way. The Lord says this is the order. Right? Amen. Amen. I mean, that's the way that it is. He says here, you think it's us? The God, verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac of Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, more names of the Lord, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. We know he is such. We know it. And his name, and his name through faith in his name, just catch that, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong. Whom ye see and know. You know him. You see now he's not in the condition that he was before. You know he's been touched. He's been changed. He's been healed. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He's not healed. He's not at 90% looking for the next 10% next week. He's 100% right now. Right now. Right now. He's ready to go back to work. Right now. Okay? He's 100%. He says here, in his name, through faith, okay, I'm sorry, perfect soundness, verse 16, tail end of verse 16, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Verse 17, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. You killed the Lord by ignorance. You didn't know. Because you didn't hear. Because you didn't hear it and believe it. That's what he's telling them. God prophesied it. And we have, as a people, have rejected it. And you didn't know. Look what he goes on to say. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Right? Yeah. They were guilty. They did it. God had purposed it. God had planned it. God turned over his son into the hands of wicked sinners, and they did what they were predictable to do. They killed him. But God knew what he was doing, didn't he? For our sakes. And listen, he says, you did it through ignorance. God said that it would be, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted. Repent and believe that your sins may be blotted out. I find that interesting. That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. There's those prophets again, telling them what God says, telling what God says, telling what God says. Verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. It was an understanding and a theme there that ran in the church. Jesus is that prophet like unto Moses. He's the answer. He's the one. Stephen preaches it. Peter preaches it. And what was the whole thing about Moses? Hear the word of the Lord. Hearken to the word of the Lord. Hear it and obey it. What are we studying over in James Sunday evenings? Man be a hearer of the word, not a doer. He deceives himself. Hearing it is not enough, but obeying it is what the Lord intends. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, remember what we read over in Deuteronomy? He's telling it again. If you won't hear, shall be destroyed from among the people. Unsaved sinner, you don't listen to Jesus Christ. You don't obey the gospel. You don't repent of your sins, submit to the Lord, and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're heading for a devil's hell. You're going to be destroyed forever. Without remedy. Forever. Child of God, that hears the word of the Lord and doesn't obey it, your life on this side of eternity can be destroyed. Your soul is secure, but your life, your testimony, your witness, that which you have got left from the time the Lord has saved your soul to use for the service of the Lord, you can take that and trash that and waste it. Be destroyed. If we don't hear. Amen. Same thing for me, isn't it? Same thing for you. Same thing for all of us. Not just hear it, but obey it. Hanging on the Word of God that when the Lord says something, our thinking is not, how can I manipulate that to get that to where I don't have to deal with that. But our thinking would be, God said it. I need to do something with it. I need to find out how I can obey Him in it. How I can please Him in it. Because He saved my soul. It shall come to pass that every soul, verse 23, which shall not hear that prophet, shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days that the prophet was coming. Amen? The prophet. The Lord sent the prophet. The one. He's the end of it. He's the end of it. And He's the Savior. He's told about it. Peter preaches, ye are the children of the prophets, verse 25, and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in all in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Repentance. Repentance. Salvation. Through the prophet, the only begotten Son of God, God the Son, come down to be a Savior for sinners like you and me. Hearken to Him. Amen? Hearken to Him. He's not talking just to make noise. Hearken to Him. And every whit. Because the Lord speaks life. The Lord speaks life indeed. Well, I did it again. I plan, Lord willing, I promise you we're going to go on to verse 38 next time. Turn back in Acts chapter 7. You know, it's simple, isn't it? Isn't it simple? But we either want to make it complicated, or we don't want to hear it. If we get down right down to the nitty gritty where the rubber meets the road, that's where it's at, isn't it? It is. It is. This is that Moses, verse 37 of Acts 7. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. Stephen preached it. Peter preached it. Moses prophesied and promised it through the Lord, working in him. How about you and me? As we've taken a look through this passage here and this message, Stephen preached, Abraham was faithful, wasn't he? Abraham was faithful. Joseph was faithful. Joseph's brethren were not faithful. Jacob was faithful. Moses' parents were faithful. Moses was faithful. His brethren, Moses' brethren were not faithful, were they? The children of Israel, they weren't faithful to the extent that they did not go into the promised land. They didn't go into the rest that the Lord had prepared for them. How about you and me? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need this one that the Lord promised and that the Lord sent, the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came with a word of power. He lives and has given us His word for sinners to hear. And when the Lord saved us, after the Lord saves a sinner, He wants us to keep on hearing, doesn't He? Keep on hearkening. Digging in there like it's precious. Digging in there like it's good. Not seeing how we can walk on the edge and be okay. Living on the edge or getting up there close with the Lord. Not how far away I can get from the God, Lord, and still be okay. But how can I get closer? How can I get closer? If you're without the Lord as Savior, you need to repent and trust in Him.